with you tonight and to see everybody. I had neglected to mention this morning that among those who are with us is Chelsea Best. She's here, weekend visit from college. Good to see you. And I probably overlooked somebody else. Whenever you start mentioning folks, you tend to overlook folks. But any others that maybe have formerly been members here and you're with us, we are delighted by your presence. It's good to have you here, and especially those who are visiting with us. We're especially happy that you are with us. This morning we looked at the church that Jesus promised that he would build, this church that the New Testament speaks of. Jesus said, indeed, the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. And the New Testament describes this group of followers of Jesus in so many ways as the citizens of his kingdom, as the flock with Jesus as the shepherd, and so on. And we also talked this morning about the fact that the New Testament speaks of there being one church that Jesus established. Not many different churches, not many different paths that people could follow, but instead one church, one universal body of followers of Jesus who will be following this one body of teaching, and that's the only church that Jesus established. That's the only church that any of us should seek to be members of. And we also talked this morning about the fact that sadly there are numerous denominations that exist today and have existed for centuries. And there really is the concept of denominationalism that says that these different churches teaching different doctrines and practicing different things and designating themselves and demarcating themselves by various different names so that we have division, that's okay. That really is just something that is so inevitable that it's just okay. That's what we're taught. And the denominational concept says that that's not something that is bad, but instead it's just different paths that people take to heaven. But that's just not what the New Testament teaches. And so we talked about that in this morning's lesson, and I want to ask you tonight this question. A question that we are often asked by others. Are we a denomination? Here we claim to be Christians. We would identify ourselves as Christians. And this local assembly that we are a part of, we refer to ourselves as the Valrico Church of Christ, or the Church of New Testament Christians that meets here at Valrico. Are we a denomination? Are we part of a denominational body? Have you ever been asked that question? Well, I want to see if I can answer that question. And I would say, as my answer to that question, is no, I'm not a member of a denomination. And the church that I'm a member of, and that I seek to be a member of, is by no means a denomination. In fact, we seek to be members of that one church that the New Testament talks about. And we seek to follow that one body of truth that Jesus revealed through his apostles. And as we already have said, there is only one church that the New Testament talks about, and there's only one body of truth that Jesus called upon his disciples to follow. And so we are seeking to be members of that one church and to follow that one body of truth that Jesus revealed so we can be in a right relationship with him. That's what we're seeking. And I would also say this, that to call ourselves a denomination, to view ourselves as a denomination, would just violate all of that. In fact, let me just mention this to you. You ever had this kind of conversation with somebody, had them say this to you? Well, you people in the Church of Christ think you're the only ones who are going to heaven. And if you begin to have a discussion with somebody about the topic that we're addressing today, and you talk about this one church that the New Testament talks about, and call upon someone to be baptized into Jesus Christ so they can become a member of that one church, at some point in that conversation, here's what's going to be said. Well, you people in the Church of Christ, you think you're the only ones going to heaven. And that's kind of a difficult thing to have to deal with, you know. It's not a comfortable position to be put in when somebody makes that kind of statement to you. And the fact of the matter is that the person who makes that statement really isn't meaning by the Church of Christ what I mean by the Church of Christ when I talk about myself being a member of the Church of Christ. He really is thinking of something different. He's really thinking of the Church of Christ in a denominational sense, and he's thinking of the Church of Christ being an organization of congregations that wear the name Church of Christ, and so that's what we're a member of, as he thinks of it. And so when we talk about being a member of the Church of Christ and only the Church of Christ being saved, only the Church of Christ going to heaven, he thinks of that as an absolutely arrogant statement, and so he says, you people think that you're the only ones going to heaven. But the fact of the matter is, if you understand what the New Testament means by that terminology, the Church of Christ is a designation that, by definition, is demarcating all those people who are going to heaven, all those people who are saved. That's what the New Testament means by that terminology. When the New Testament talks about the church that Jesus established, that's what it's referring to. Those people who are in a right relationship with God, who have entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ and been cleansed of their sins. By definition, the church of Jesus Christ are the only ones going to heaven. In fact, to say anything other than that, it would be kind of like a person objecting to this statement. Well, you who are the only ones going to heaven, you think you're the only ones going to heaven. Well, yeah, because that's what that terminology means. But the real problem is that that person just means something different in his mind by Church of Christ than what I mean, at least when I speak of myself as being a member of the Church of Christ. I just mean by that, that I'm seeking to be a member of that one church that Jesus established and to follow that one truth that Jesus established. And so to call ourselves a denomination and to speak of ourselves as a denomination, people who are striving to follow this teaching of Jesus, it would just violate all of that if we began to call ourselves and think of ourselves as a denomination. Okay, but that's not the end of my answer to that question. Are we a denomination? A lot of times, if we're not careful, we just kind of stop right there with the answer. I don't think it's good to stop right there. Because what we need to understand is this. At best, non-denominationalism is a claim. When we make a statement that, okay, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, and the church that I'm a member of is not a denomination, really, at best, what we're doing is we're claiming that we are part of that group of people whom the Bible says Jesus died for, and those people whom God reckons as His saved people. That's a claim. That's a goal that we're striving for. The fact that I say that I'm a member of the body of Jesus Christ, I'm a member of the flock that Jesus shepherds, that I'm a citizen in His kingdom, at best, those are my assertions about what I believe is true of me, because I believe that I have followed what King Jesus says to do in order to be in that right relationship with Him. And so we need to understand that non-denominationalism, it is a claim. It's an assertion. In fact, it's really like saying I'm an obedient disciple. You see why it's really like saying that? Well, now, whether or not I am an obedient disciple depends upon whether I really am following what the New Testament says. I might claim that I am, but maybe I'm not. Maybe my heart isn't right. Or maybe I think I'm following what the New Testament says a disciple of Jesus Christ should be doing, but maybe there are some things I'm doing that are wrong and I just don't realize it. So making the statement, I'm an obedient disciple of Jesus, at best, that's a claim. That's my goal. That's what I'm striving to be. And when we talk about, well, I'm a member of that church of Jesus Christ, that non-denominational church that Jesus established, that one and only church that Jesus said he would build, at best, I'm claiming that I'm following Jesus Christ and I'm in a right relationship with him. That's really all any of us can be saying when we make that statement. It's a claim. And we need to understand this. That other people who have different views and practices, they're going to look at us and they're going to view us as a denomination. And you know what? From their perspective, that's exactly what we are. And you really can't avoid that. That doesn't mean that their perspective is correct. But the fact of the matter is, brethren, it's always been that way. It's always been the way that those people who are following Jesus are viewed by other people, by outsiders, as something other than what they would say that they are. They're viewed as a sect. In fact, that's what you see in Acts 24 and verse 14. When Paul was speaking to the Sanhedrin council, he said, but this I admit to you, according to the way that they call a sect, I do serve my Father. You see what Paul said there? According to the way that they call a sect. Now, Paul didn't view it as a sect. And the fact of the matter is, since that pathway that Paul was teaching, that pathway of Jesus Christ, since that was exactly what God had revealed, it wasn't a sect. God knew it wasn't a sect, but those Jews of the first century who were not Christians, they looked at those who were following Jesus Christ and claiming he was the Messiah, and they simply viewed that as another sect of Judaism. And in one sense, from one perspective, looking at it from that outside point of view, well, yeah, how else would you view that? In that sense, it was another pathway among many pathways of Judaism. But the fact of the matter is that God did establish one and only one pathway through Jesus Christ. And so according to the way that they called a sect, that they called a denomination, Paul said, I'm serving my Father. And it's always been that way, and it always will be that way, folks. Are we a denomination? Not from my perspective. Not from our perspective. In fact, we're striving not to be that. But at best, that's our claim, and other people are going to view us as being just another denomination among many. And that's just something that you can't avoid. That's just necessarily just the way that it's going to be. And I want to make this observation. And to me, this is very important. Our own failings to be true New Testament Christians from time to time, that doesn't justify us to quit striving to be non-denominational Christians. Are there Christians who sometimes espouse that there's one church and they espouse that they're striving to follow that one body of teaching, and yet in reality, they're not following that teaching? Yeah.
Are there occasions where there are Christians who make a big claim about not being a denomination, and yet they really develop a sectarian, denominational kind of mindset? And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. And as a result, they talk a big game, but they're really just as denominational in their thinking as somebody else. Yeah, that can happen. But that failure on our part to live up to the standard, to live up to the goal, it doesn't justify us in saying, well, let's just quit striving for that goal. Let's just quit striving for that standard. 7 years ago, I was preaching in a church in Missouri, and we had a couple of our members of long standing, who really struggled with this very point that we're addressing tonight. And they saw some things that they thought, at least, were wrong in what was being done by our group. And they couldn't persuade the rest of the folks that their concept of it was correct. And so in their minds, they began to view us as not following what the New Testament said. Now, the issue that they were debating really isn't the point so much as this. Here's what they finally came down to. They finally began to look at us and they said, well, you know, we're claiming that we're just New Testament Christians. We claim that we're not a denomination like the Baptists, like the Methodists, like the Presbyterians. But they said, really, we're just a denomination following our own tradition, and we're not really following what the New Testament said. And that's what they concluded from all that. And then they went one step further. And here's what they did. Here's what they said. They said, so since what we're claiming to not be is really what we are a denomination, they then said, well, then we need to just quit worrying about being non-denominational. And you know what they eventually did? They eventually, of all things, left us, and they began to worship with a denominational group that made no bones about the fact that they were a denomination among many, and it didn't matter, and there were different paths to heaven, and they finally just said, that's okay. And what led them down that path was that they were so disturbed by the failure of people who were claiming to be just New Testament Christians, at least what they saw as a failure. I disagree with them in their view that they were debating. But at least what they saw as a failure, they then concluded that there's no point in even striving to be non-denominational. There's no point in even striving to just be a Christian. And they said, let's just quit even trying to be that, let's just be a denomination and not worry about it. And no, that's just not the way we can think. That's a wrong conclusion to draw from all of that. Again, what we need to understand, not being a denomination, that's a claim. Do we sometimes fail to live up to the ideal? Yeah. And the thing to do then is to correct ourselves if we have failed in something and to strive all the harder to be a true New Testament Christian and only that. The answer is not to say, well, you know, people fail to really be non-denominational, so let's just go ahead and be one and not worry about it. But that's what some people do. Folks, we must strive. When we talk about being non-denominational Christians, just a New Testament Christian, that's a claim, and we need to strive to live up to it. And that's just the nature of Christianity. And the fact that we claim that we're not a denomination doesn't mean that we're not. Doesn't mean that we're necessarily following what the Bible says. It says that we're striving to. Well, we need to make sure that it's not an empty claim, but that we're really striving to follow that teaching of Jesus, that one body of truth, and we're striving to be a member of that one and only universal body of saved people that the New Testament talks about. And I'll tell you how we have to go about striving to be non-denominational.
We have to be willing to examine ourselves and be introspective and self-critical.
And the kind of person that just accepts denominationalism and his whole view is, well, this is our church tradition and that's okay. That kind of denominational thinking comes about because people stop examining themselves in light of what the apostolic teaching is. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he said, test yourselves, examine yourselves. Test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. You're claiming to be following Jesus Christ. Examine yourselves in light of that teaching and make sure you are. Make sure it's not just some empty boast. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. When you're having those conversations with people about what church they belong to and what church you belong to, when you're having those difficult kind of conversations, understand that us saying that, well, we're the church of Christ and we're members of that one true church, that doesn't make it so, just the fact that we say it. We've got to examine ourselves and examine our practices and examine our beliefs. And make sure they really are in accordance with what the scriptures say. We need to always be making sure that we're not following maybe some man-made tradition that we have imagined was from God, but maybe it really is just man-made. That's a challenge. It's not comfortable. You have to be open-minded and objective. And you have to be open-minded and objective just like those denominational people out there that we're trying to get to be open-minded and objective to examine their beliefs and their practices and to see where maybe in various areas they're not in accordance with what the New Testament says. In other words, we've got to practice what we preach. We have to make sure that we're being open-minded and objective just like we're calling upon those people out there to be. It's tough. It's hard. And I'll tell you what else is involved in all of this. In order for us to strive to be non-denominational, we have to make sure that we properly speak of the church and therefore properly conceive of the church. Folks, you know, there's a lot of occasions where we, in our terminology, in our speech, we speak and we use terms like the Church of Christ, and we really are using it in a denominational sense. And maybe we don't realize it. We need to start. We need to correct that. And I'll tell you why it's so important. How you speak about things, it shows how you either conceive of them presently, or maybe how you're going to wind up conceiving of them if you keep talking in that kind of terminology. If your speech is not accurate in accordance with the Bible usage of those terms, eventually your conception is going to be skewed in accordance with the skewed way in which you're speaking of things. I'll give you some illustrations. Conversation like we talked about this morning. You're a Christian? Well, what kind of Christian are you? I'm Baptist. And then you say, well, I'm Church of Christ. You ever said that when talking with somebody? It sure makes it a lot easier conversation to answer that way. Your neighbor says, well, I'm Baptist. What are you? Well, I'm Church of Christ. That makes it nice and simple. But guess what? You're speaking of the Church of Christ as a denomination. Just like he's speaking of the Baptist church. Well, you're Church of Christ. And that's really how you're probably conceiving of it at that moment in time. Now, it may be that, you know, come Sunday when the preacher talks about that one church, you know, and well, yeah, okay, well, that's the church I'm really a member of. But in this kind of language, you're really using that terminology, Church of Christ, in a completely denominational sense. That's not biblical usage. And so, again,
if we're really going to strive and live up to that claim to be non-denominational, we've got to make sure we properly speak and therefore properly conceive of the church that we say we're a member of. Or how about this conversation? Talking about so-and-so and someone asks you, well, is she a Christian? Well, she's a Christian, but she's not a member of the Church of Christ. Well, okay, now, that expression Church of Christ that you're using, if you're using that in accordance with what the New Testament means when it talks about the Church of Jesus Christ, by definition, the Church of Jesus Christ are all those who are Christians. There aren't any Christians outside of the church that Jesus established. That's, by definition, what the Church of Christ is, according to the New Testament. It's collectively designating all those who are Christians. So if you use the church, the phrase Church of Christ, and you're not using it like the New Testament is using it, well, why not? And really what you are doing is you're viewing the Church of Christ here, you're speaking of it as a denominational body, and it's speaking of it in a way that's completely out of accordance with what the New Testament means by that. But people do that all the time. People who claim to be non-denominational do that all the time. It's easy to fall into that trap. And I'm not, I mean, I tend to fall into that trap too. That's one reason why I'm talking about this. You know? This is tough sometimes. Talk about another aspect of this. You know, if you look at a dictionary, if you look up the word denomination, one definition of that is an organized group of religious congregations. In other words, we very often use the word to designate this kind of organization, congregations tied together into a larger organizational structure. Now that might sound rather complex, but let me just illustrate it for you. A denomination, in this sense of the word, a denomination is an organization of churches. When somebody that you're talking to says that he is a member of the Presbyterian Church, what's your denominational affiliation? Well, I'm Presbyterian. What that person means is that he's a member of the denomination that is known as the Presbyterian Church. And what he means by that is it's a denominational organization comprised of all these local Presbyterian churches that collectively form that larger organization. If you're talking with somebody who claims to be a Roman Catholic, okay, he's part of that Roman Catholic Church, which is a denomination, and its structure is this. It's collectively all those local Roman Catholic churches that collectively form this organization known as the Roman Catholic Church. If you're talking with somebody and he says, well, I'm a Southern Baptist. Well, he's a member at this local Southern Baptist congregation, but then collectively he views that Southern Baptist congregation and then all these other Southern Baptist churches as collectively forming the Southern Baptist denomination. And that's what he means when he talks about how he's a member of the Baptist church. Okay, well, that denominational concept of church and the usage of even the term church, you find that nowhere in the New Testament at all. When the New Testament refers to a church, an assembly of Christians, it may speak, as we've talked about, of this one universal body of saved people throughout the world and throughout time. Or it may speak of a local congregation of disciples who have elders who are overseeing them and they're working and functioning collectively. But nowhere does the New Testament speak of or use the word church to designate some organization of congregations that collectively form the Church of Christ. When you think about the Church of Christ, if you're thinking of, okay, all of these local churches of Christ that collectively form the Church of Christ, that's a denominational concept. That's not the New Testament concept. And so when a person makes this statement, what do they mean? Well, so-and-so is not a Christian, so-and-so is a Christian, but she's not a member of the Church of Christ. You see how the person's using that phrase, Church of Christ, there? That person's thinking of the Church of Christ as an organization comprised of local congregations that collectively form the Church of Christ. You've got the Baptist Church made up of all these Baptist churches. You've got the Methodist Church made up of all these Methodist churches. You've got the Church of Christ made up of all these churches of Christ. That's a concept the New Testament knows nothing about. It's a denominational concept. And yet, we tend to talk like that all the time unwittingly. Unwittingly. And what it shows is that we're claiming that we're striving to be non-denominational, but our language is as denominational as it can be. And it reveals the fact that in all likelihood, our concept is as denominational as it can be. We need to work on that. Someone views the sign out front, Church of Christ, as the official name of our denomination. Is that what unwittingly you think of? I know a lot of people kind of have that view. A lot of people kind of have the idea that somehow the New Testament somewhere teaches that, okay, that's the official name. And okay, Church of Christ is the official name, and you've got to have that, but you've got to have that on your sign, you know. And if we're not careful, and I'm not saying that it's wrong to have that on your sign. What I hope we mean by that, when we have that on our sign out front, or we maybe have some letterhead that the Valrico Church of Christ, all in the world we mean by that is this is a group of Christians in the Valrico area who assemble together and work together, and that's exactly how the New Testament uses that term, Church of Christ, in that local sense. But if we mean by that, if we're thinking of, okay, that sign out front that says we're Church of Christ, well, that just is our official designation, and it designates us as one church among all these churches of Christ that collectively form the Church of Christ. That's a denominational concept. And the New Testament doesn't speak of that. So again, I'm challenging us tonight to think about this and to realize that we need to strive to be non-denominational. That's a claim that we're making, and it's our goal. It's what we need to be striving for. And that means we've got to examine our beliefs and practices and make correction. And it means we've got to properly speak and conceive of the church. And that requires that we do a little self-examination, even about our own verbiage that we use from time to time. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to be a Christian in any era. It's a challenge to be a Christian in our era today, where denominationalism and its acceptance has so pervaded our land that, you know, that's what people think of. And it's hard for us in the midst of all that to make sure that we really are simply Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, like we claim to be. It's a challenge, but that's the challenge that we signed up for when we were baptized into Jesus Christ. When we said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I want to commit myself to Him, and I'm being baptized into Jesus so I can be His follower. That's what we were signing up for. this kind of struggle, a life of trying to follow his teaching no matter what the obstacles are. And God can help us accomplish that. He sure can and he sure does. And we need to diligently seek his help in that regard. I hope you think these things tonight have been helpful to you, and perhaps there's someone here who in some way needs to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we pray for you? Can we assist you in some sin in your life? Or have you never been baptized into Jesus Christ? We sure would like to help you do that. If we can assist you, won't you let that be known while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.